Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, A Day Acceptable to the Lord. It's based on the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 58. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you this day in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, on this, the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. With that being said, I invite you to stand as we sing our hymn of invocation, number 903. This is the day the Lord has made. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Amen. A major problem that exists between people who are in positions of authority and people those that are under that authority is for the latter to have their voices heard. In business, in politics, in religion, those who are considered to be at the lower levels of influence can have difficulty communicating their ideas and their suggestions to the individuals at the higher levels of influence. As a result, individuals and groups devise a variety of strategic methods to get their voices heard. Many of these overtures are nonviolent and are within the bounds of proper discourse, but others are violent and divisive. As children of God, you and I have a way of making our voices heard on high, and that is through worship, prayer, and praise. These are the ways that we Christians have to bring our cares and concerns to our Heavenly Father. Unfortunately, it is possible, all too often, for our worship, our praise, and our prayer to become tools for manipulation, in order for us to try to twist God according to our own self-centered will and not His. Such is the behavior described in our Old Testament reading for today. The people in that time trusted in their fast days as a means of motivating God to answer their prayers and their petitions. Jerusalem and the southern kingdom had become sinfully proud. They had fallen away from acting justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with their God. Their worship of God had degenerated into empty ritual repeated out of a sense of obligation, not out of sincere love. They considered their acts of worship to be worthy of God's attention and to earn His grace. Their religion, as expressed by ritual fasting, was hypocrisy because it was conducted apart from faith expressing itself in love. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah and his contemporary Micah were sent by God to call His people back to repentance. The Lord proceeds to describe the hypocrisy of the people as it has revealed itself in their fasts. The people's religious activity had deteriorated into a quid pro quo agreement. That is, if I do something for you, then you have to do something for me. Isaiah challenges the people to turn from their hypocrisy to true godliness. And God rebukes His people by asking, "Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord?" Clearly, His answer to them was no. God labels Israel's days of fasting as unacceptable to Him. And so this leads us to ask ourselves, what then is a day acceptable to the Lord? The people of God made a great pretense of loving the Lord. They approached Him every day with their worship, their rituals, and they wanted His guidance, His counsel, and His approval. But the prophet Isaiah is called by God to cry aloud boldly and emphatically the words of judgment and condemnation against Israel, like a shofar, a bugle, a signal horn that is blown on New Year's Day. The people of God had deceived themselves into believing that they were a righteous nation and that they were an obedient people. They thought they were entitled to God's deliverance and to His gracious blessings. But fasting is intended to afflict the soul. Only one day of fasting was required, and that was the Day of Atonement. Certainly, fasting served the purpose of cleansing the soul of all sin, selfishness, and self-centeredness, in order to experience and to understand the great meaning of the sacrificial lamb, whose blood brought their purification. Fasting for the Israelites became a customary means of seeking to demonstrate their contriteness and to motivate God to look upon them with favor and to grant their prayers. Those who heard the prophet Isaiah and their show of piety claimed to have exceeded all of what the Lord had expected of them. They asserted that such intense fasting is evidence of their great devotion to the Lord. They did not understand why God had not responded to their cries for deliverance. Why have we fasted and you don't see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Surely such a display of righteousness should move God to bless them and to prosper them. The Israelites thought that a day acceptable to the Lord was a day filled with their rituals and their acts of piety. This is how they thought they should be able to make their voices heard on high. Well, how often does such an arrogant attitude corrupt our own relationship with the Lord? We deceive ourselves into believing that our good works and that our righteous deeds do somehow earn some extra credit before God, and that they will motivate Him to hear our prayers and to grant our requests. We use our good deeds as bargaining chips in exchange for God's blessings. We rely on our good works to make our voices heard on high. A day acceptable to the Lord is a day of saying no to the desires of the flesh and to the lusts of the heart. It is a day of confession. It is a day of getting up every single morning to claim once again the promises of our baptism. It is a day of battling with our old sinful nature as we put on the whole armor of God. It is a day when you and I seek spiritual strength through His Word to live a new life purchased and won for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. It is a day of faith and trust that rests not in ourselves, but in the amazing grace and the abundant mercy of the Lord God Almighty. Such a day of self-denial was accomplished first by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. When our Lord willingly went the way of the cross without retribution or revenge, He offered up to our Heavenly Father an acceptable day. The day of our Lord's crucifixion was the day on which He became our perfect righteousness. It became a day on which all self-reliance would give way to faith and trust in His supreme sacrifice. Such a day of self-denial can be achieved every day, not by our own flawed and imperfect efforts, but instead through clinging to the one that we have in Him. He is the one who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself for us and for our sins. Through our Lord's life, death, and resurrection, He offers to us the victory He achieved over the sins and desires of the flesh, and over our own self-quest for self-justification. And we humbly receive what He gives to us. A day acceptable to the Lord is a day when we set aside everything that clings to that old sinful nature within us, and we claim the new life that He offers us through His death on the cross and His victorious resurrection. A day acceptable to the Lord is also a day of service. As members of the body of Christ, you and I, like Him, are not to be served, but to serve. It is a day when we display the characteristics of brotherly love. We do not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but we put our brother and our sister first. We do not seek to be first, but to be last. A day acceptable to the Lord is a day when we embody the servanthood of Jesus Christ and look first to the needs of others and not to our own needs. It is a day of sacrifice as we share the bounty of our blessings with those who struggle along life's journeys. The Old Testament prophet shares the good news of the Lord as His people put aside all claims to righteousness on their own and dedicated themselves to service. Their true righteousness will go before them and will lead others to see God's abundant mercy and amazing grace. Therefore, as the Israelites walk in the righteousness of the Lord, a day acceptable to the Lord will be a day of shining. Israel was called and gathered to be a light to the nations. One part of the three-part blessing and promise given to Abraham was that through his descendants all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. As the entire nation gathered around Mount Sinai, God shared through his servant Moses the law and the covenant that would set them apart from all peoples and enable them to be a witness to the one true God. Through their wilderness wanderings, God equipped them in every way to be fully prepared for the task He called them to do. Subsequently, God placed them in a region of the world that would expose them to all the nations of the world, and thus lead other nations to know that the God of Israel is the only one true God. In our baptism, God calls each one of us to extend the promise given to the patriarch Abraham. God chooses us in grace to be part of His people, fills us with the righteousness He requires, and equips us through word and sacrament to overcome sin and selfishness and to do the works He has prepared beforehand for us to do. The gospel text for this morning emphasizes our shining role. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God places each one of us in our church, in our community, and in our various vocations to display His will and His works. Through our righteous deeds, we are a light shining in the midst of darkness, offering hope and healing, redemption and renewal to a wandering and wayward world. Dear friends in Christ, our voices are heard on high as we place our trust in the gift of grace God has given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and our Lord's atonement by death on the cross. The Lord also lays out clearly for us a day that is acceptable to Him. It is one that involves self-denial, sacrifice, and service to those in need. We rejoice that we are heard on high on a day acceptable to the Lord. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our closing hymn, The People That in Darkness Sat.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Thank you.
Go in the epiphany, peace, and joy of Christ. Amen.